Well, welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 10th of February, 2022. I'm joined by Cole.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about Florida Man going after the leftist groomers, the Battle of Turf Island, and also they're trying to rewrite the history on lockdowns, desperately trying to scurry away from what they've done.
They knew what they wanted.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm still laughing about that art thing.
We'll talk about it another time.
That'll be a premium podcast in the making, but anyway. Yep. So let's go to the stuff new on the website. So the first thing here being the premium hangout you did yesterday, Man-Made Horrors Beyond Comprehension.
Yes.
Which I did catch the start of it. You butchered Nikola Tesla's name somehow.
Nikola Tesla?
Nikola. What?
I'm not a Slav. What do you want from me?
Nikola? No. Well, it's like there's a mate of mine who used to say Naples. I was like, Naples.
Well, maybe if he wanted it to be pronounced correctly in English, he just should have spelt it correctly. Yeah,
should have been born in God's country.
But the point is, this was good. It's fine that you weren't here for this one, actually, because Josh sat in this, and it was basically explaining how science is genuinely creating man-made horrors beyond our comprehension, which is a quote from Tesla. And it's really not looking good where we're going, by the way, as a civilization, just so everyone knows. I really enjoyed doing it as well. It was good fun, because Josh was like, I can't defend this.
Sounds did nothing wrong. Okay, maybe. So moving on, if we go to the next one, we have a new article from Hugo, How to Build a Successful Non-Left-Wing Movement. As you can see, there is also Jonathan Crowe's name on there, so there is an audio track for Silver and Gold tier members to go and listen to that. Mm-hmm. So please do subscribe and then upgrade to Silver and Gold to listen to the audio version of that one. And find out how to make a left-wing... Well, no, how to make a movement that isn't left-wing. Almost fell for the trap.
Movement? Ah, that's left-wing.
Let's go to the next one. So we have a book club. So this is Thomas Ridd's Active Measures.
This is great.
This is something you didn't have time to read. So you don't like the first two chapters. And I'm like, yeah, I don't have time. Callum, read this. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
So then I read it.
And Callum, tell me about what your people did during the 20th century.
A lot. a lot of autistic nonsense as well. Like 4chan levels of stupid things. It's just like, what if we publish 100,000 magazines with horoscopes in to undermine communism?
Bankrolled by the Soviets or the Americans.
Yeah, dumb. But go and have a look, because then you can find out just... It's not even damaging, that's the thing. Like, we're already talking about the CIA or the KGB, they're murdering people in the streets, poisoning people, whatever. Nah, all the active measures stuff is just disinformation, so it's just funny.
Yeah. There's some really good stories of, like, and things that they did was just fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Yeah.
Except maybe the more recent stuff with the NSA. That was actually damaging, but that's for the end. So go and have a watch of that. Subscribe for access to that one on premium. And we go to the last thing here, which is Getter, of course. So you can follow us on Getter. So get together, as I'm told, not Getter done, but shame. So if you want to follow us there, go to @LotusEaters_com, being the @ for Lotus Eaters or the various staff. As you can see, I believe John is scrolling through now, so you can go find. Anyway, without further ado, let's get into the news.
Okay, Keemstar. So, Florida Man is going after the leftist school groomers really quickly. Like, this is something that's been bubbling to the surface of the current cultural zeitgeist. So it's like, hang on a second. If we put a bunch of really radically left-wing activists in our schools, they're not going to, like, pervert our children or something, are they? And it turns out, yeah, they really are going to pervert your children.
They're literally going to sing, we're coming for your children.
They are literally going to tell you to your face, we're coming for your children. Because let's be fair, where else are they going to get access to your children? You know, they don't have... No, joke, not even joking. They don't have their own, you know, they can't raise their own children. And so they're like, yeah, so we're going to become teachers and educators, quote unquote, and we're going to pervert your children in the schools. And so Florida Man and his government have proposed a bill, which is yet to be entitled, which is strange, because that is definitely like the first thing you want to do is come out with a nice, strong, pro-family title, because otherwise the left are going to title it, and they have titled it. What do you think they've called it?
Because I know he did the Stop Woke Act recently, and that was a really good name.
Yes.
What have they titled it?
They've titled it the Don't Say Gay Bill.
I don't think it's that.
No.
I don't think it's about gay people in the schools.
Not really, no. No, it's about worse than that, obviously. well, it's just, it is.
Yeah.
But the point is, they should have titled it something. But we don't have anything, so it's the Don't Say Gay Bill is the colloquialism that they're being used. So I'm going to read out some of the text from it, just so you can
hear. Can we rename it Don't Say Based?
No. We could just... It's basically the pro-parents the parents own their children bill is basically it.
Yeah, that's good.
And yeah, exactly. That's, you know, that's basically what it is. So I'm just going to read out a few bits from it just so you can see the tone of what's being discussed, because of course you will hear this misrepresented by the left everywhere. So part one is, in accordance with the rights of parents, the schools must adopt procedures for notifying a student's parent if there is a change in the student's services or monitoring related to the student's mental, emotional or physical health or well-being, and the school's ability to provide a safe and supporting learning environment for the student. The procedures must reinforce the fundamental right of parents to make decisions regarding the upbringing and control of their children by requiring school district personnel to encourage a student to discuss issues relating to his or her well-being with his or her parent, or to seek permission to discuss or facilitate discussion of the issue with the parent. Perfect.
Pretty simple.
How could you argue with that?
Parent owns the kids, so if the kid has something wrong with them, you tell the parent.
Yes, and encourage the children to talk to their parents. Wholesome. Family-oriented. Perfect. The next one is, the school district may not adopt procedures or student support forms that prohibit school district personnel from notifying a parent about his or her student's mental, emotional, physical, or health or well-being, or a change in related services or monitoring that encourage that have the effect of encouraging a student to withhold from a parent such information. School district personnel may not discourage or prohibit parental notification of and involvement in critical decisions affecting a student's mental, emotional, physical, health or well-being. This paragraph does not prohibit a school from adopting procedures that permit school personnel to withhold information from a parent if a reasonably prudent person would believe that disclosure would result in abuse, abandonment, or neglect as defined in a separate document. So predefined terms, not terms that are just open for the left to define for themselves. So if the parents are going to beat them or something, obviously fine. But generally, you are not allowed to discourage the children in your care as a teacher from letting the parents know what's going on. And they actively encourage them to do the opposite. And the reason this is important is because we have lots of examples of them doing this, like predatory leftists going after your children. If we can go to the first one, this is from the Daily Caller, where Texas School District, in their teacher training sessions, had, quote, instructed teachers not to tell parents if a student tells them they identify as transgender or non-binary, according to the documents that the Daily Caller had seen. Quote, do not contact their parents and out them to their families, a teacher professional development training at Walsh Middle School in Round Rock found, said. Right? That's not the only one. There was an example in California where a pair of California teachers were accused of trying to transition a child, and they'd recorded this and put it on the internet.
Stunning and brave. I'm sure they were so proud.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's like when a criminal crashes a bus into a building or something, films mm-hmm. it and puts on YouTube.
Yeah, but they were accused, according to video footage circling on social media, of coaching a student coming out as transgender behind the backs of the student's parents. The school staff reportedly changed the student's name and pronouns and called Child Protective Services when the parents objected to the secret gender transition. Unbelievable. There's another one as well, and this is probably where it all came from. A Florida teacher secretly transitioned a kid, a 13-year-old. What the hell? I can't even imagine how angry I would be if I came home tonight and found that, like, you know, one of my kids' teachers was trying to transition them. I'd probably go and punch them. Mm. Like, I would
I mean, that was the interesting part in the bill I think you skipped over, where he mentioned that if a teacher has information about a kid, mm-hmm. they are duty bound to tell the parent. And if they don't, well, then that's a crime unless they
well, we'll get to it. Because the parents, the bill contains an ability provision for the parents to seek legal action. But we'll get to it. Yep. But this in
the,
but
to
in
go this, after this exact kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So in this, the parents of a 13-year-old filed a federal lawsuit against Florida School District after officials at Deer Lake Middle School secretly transitioned her into a transgender male. A biological girl who says she wants to live as a boy, including allowing her to use male pronouns and bathrooms. Anyway, going back to the bill. They say on part three, a school district may not encourage classroom discussion about sexual orientation or gender identity in primary grade levels or in a manner that is not age appropriate or developmentally appropriate for students. And so I don't know how far this goes with sexual orientation, right? That's the bit that I think is the main issue here, because there's been a lot of weird sex stuff in schools thanks to left-wing teachers.
This isn't about are you straight or gay anymore.
This is how you use the giant dildo, you know.
I don't know if you have this in there. Did you see there was a story, I can't remember if it turned out to be true or not, but there was claims from the parents that they had introduced a litter tray into the bathroom because one of the kids identified as like a dog. Sorry, it was a cat.
fact check by John there. No, it was a cat, not a dog cat.
Mostly false notes. Yeah. But you know, that's an example. That's a sexual orientation, or you know, he's pansexual, queer sexual, demisexual. Yeah. You know, make up any old crap.
And of course, we have lots of examples of the weird sex stuff in schools as well. If we can go to the next one, there are lots of examples of parents being like, "I don't want graphic sexual materials in schools." If you're okay with that, that one is in Virginia, Fairfax. There was another one. If we can go to the next one, where it's it's the same one. It's the same example. Sorry, the next one, sorry, was in Loudoun County though, because there's different counties. There's Fairfax and Loudoun, and Loudoun County, you may remember.
Yeah, this was the really gross one.
Yes, but there's so it just seems to be statewide, frankly, that this is going on. And this grooming appears to be happening a lot and is essentially normalizing a lot of the left's sexual fetishes. I found this interesting thread on Twitter the other day, which is one of the reasons I actually started looking into this subject, where it's like, if you can click on that bottom right one, right? Like the normalization of pornography. Porn is just basically make-believe with a bunch of kids' toys. This is not what porn is. And that implies that porn is suitable for children?
Why? Whoever this is aimed at clearly isn't old enough to look at pornography. That's why they've used toys, right? Yes. Like kids' toys.
Yes.
In which case, why are you even discussing it with them?
It's aimed at like 12-year-olds. Exactly. Why are you even discussing pornography with them? And there's a lot in this list where it's just basically, they're just trying to normalize left-wing sexual fetishes. That's what it is. And then they go into like, transgenderism and like, lesbianism and stuff like this. And
that's the thing as well. Like outside, do whatever you want. Who cares? Yeah, but in schools, like, what are you doing?
It's not appropriate for the school and it shouldn't be there. But anyway, going back to the bill. Point four is a parent of a student may bring action against the school district to obtain a declaratory judgment that a school district procedure or practice violates this paragraph and seeks injunctive relief. A court may award damages and shall award reasonable attorney fees and cost to a parent who receives this relief. And like we said, there are lots of parents who are literally up in arms in the courts over this. You've got one in Wisconsin, if we can get to the next one, where parents sue the school for letting them change their pronouns without their consent. Good. Absolutely. Take all the legal action that you can. The plaintiff's claim here is that the student's gender undermines the parent's role in decision-making. Yeah, it does. Yes. Absolutely.
Which is why the SNP just did that as law in Scotland.
Yes.
And Scottish parents apparently can't sue.
And there's another example from Florida in Leon County, if we can get to that next one, because the school is basically promoting all these LGBTQ policies against the wishes of the parents. And so the parents are like, no. Actually, we're a nation of laws, we're a republic, something like that. People for the people, something or other. I don't know. It was in the Constitution somewhere.
You know the thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know the thing, right? And that's what's happening in Florida. And, of course, we have the Loudoun County cover-up, which was pretty awful, and there's an ongoing lawsuit. If you want to know what happened in Loudoun County, honestly, I'm not comfortable putting it on YouTube because, it was pretty damning, but you can go find that out by subscribing to our website. But anyway, going back to the bill, they say the procedures must reinforce the fundamental right of parents to make decisions regarding the upbringing and control of their children by requiring school district personnel to encourage a student to discuss issues relating to his or her well-being with his or her parent and seek permission to facilitate discussion of the issue with the parent. Right, and this is important because this is literally the very crux of all of this issue. The left don't believe you own your children. And they will just come out and say it. If we can go to the next link, you can see this was a public broadcast on MSNBC, where Dr. Melissa Harris Perry literally advocated that the private idea that kids belong to their parents or their families is what they're trying to, she says, break, and that she wants to institute a collective notion that kids are our children and they belong to the community, and therefore they belong to the state, they belong to the teachers, they belong to the officials.
They belong
over my dead body.
There's the thing, it's always in the language of it doesn't belong to you, as in your part of the state, or if you could vote. Let's say you're in the majority, the people who think it belongs to... No. It's to our weird minority cult of leftists. All of the children of the nation belong to us and us alone.
Yes. And because we are concerned about their freedom. It's like, look, I'm not concerned about their freedom. My kids aren't free, and that's for their own good. They are safe, healthy, unmolested. You know, they don't watch pornography. You know, they're happy. They're very joyous. They wake up in the morning and they're, you know, it's a bright new day. They're not like disturbed about the things they're going to do, because I know what a kid needs, and it's not leftist indoctrination, right? This nonsense that kids don't belong to their parents. This is where the Republicans, you will have to fight and die on this hill. They're not a step backwards, because they're just openly saying it. We're coming for your kids. They don't belong to you. They belong to us. Never in a million years. And so you can see the BBC reporting on this Don't Say Gay Bill. They're calling it the Don't Say Gay Bill. You should have named it. Should have named it. Never allow the left to define you, right? But the activists have dubbed it the Don't Say Gay Bill and were warned it will stigmatize LGBT people and issues. Wow, that's a big self-report there.
Hang on, the bill didn't mention LGBT.
Not even slightly.
I mean, sure, I mentioned sexual orientation.
It's going to stigmatize LGBT people and issues. What, stealing my kids? That we're coming for your children video, aging like fine cheese. What? Sorry, this is total mask off moment. Are you saying that LGBT people are going to steal my children and pervert them?
Well, it's only the President of the United States saying it. I mean, that's
Well, that's the thing. It is, and it's just like what a strange thing for Biden to come out and be like, yeah, well, if the gays can't steal your kids, then you're a bigot.
Say that again, Biden.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they're saying. And it's like, no, I'm pretty sure there are going to be lots of gay people who I guess are now far right who are like, no, we don't own their children and we don't want pornography in classrooms. Why are you doing this?
There's going to be people like, old Milo who are like, you know, well, I was kind of gay, so I didn't have to have the kids. So why would I be involved in this?
Well, no, I know loads of gay people who are just like, no, this is gross and it has to stop.
Yeah. Right. Just making the point. It's the obvious difference between gays, alphabet people.
Yes, exactly. But the whole thing is just a massive self-report from these activists, in my opinion, and that's, you know, a bit embarrassing. And so, you know, more worrying mask off moments from the Pink News crew. Let's if we can get to the next one. I'm not even joking, it is the Pink News.
Oh, we are going
to
talk about Pink News.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, right? I love the way they describe all of this. It's vicious and cruel if we're not allowed to show your children pornography.
Who is it cruel to?
Them.
It's cruel to the alphabet teacher
who
desperately wants to show the kids porn.
Well, their contention is, oh, well, it's going to prevent them from encouraging in a discussion about sexual orientation or gender identity in primary grade levels in a manner that is not age appropriate or developmentally appropriate for students. That's their objection. We would like to engage in age inappropriate discussions about sex and sexuality with your children. So Pink News, big self-report, because
I got nothing. I what the fuck?
That's literally the complaint. Because that's a direct quote from the thing, and it's like, yeah. So if it's not age appropriate, then you can't do it. And they're like, oh man, this is really going to BTFO the LGBT community. Is it groomers?
Pink News community.
Yeah, exactly. The Pink News community are just like seething.
I
mean, again,
I can't make that distinction any more clear, and we should just to be sure. It's just the difference between, like, you know, people and then just like, well, the groomers here.
Yes, exactly. Jen Psaki said, conservative politicians in Florida reject those basic values by advancing legislation that is designed to target and attack the kids who need support. The kids support the most. Kids from the LGBTQI+ community who are already vulnerable to bullying. And we've seen that in study after study and violence for just being themselves and being who they are. What are you talking about?
Also, can we notice for a minute just that every line, even in this article, they keep changing the bloody acronym. You've got LGBT plus at the start, then LGBTQIA plus in the bill. Yeah. You had, what was it, LGBTQ, I think Biden said. I mean, that's the other point I always found interesting, is that they're never able to go to the specifics of only on these lines are we interested in because of health reasons or safety. No, we'll always throw in another letter.
They're acronym fluid.
Yep.
But she says...
But it means you can never pin them down on saying what's actually the problem.
This is who these kids are, and these legislators are trying to make it harder for them to be who they are. And that's the fundamental point of contention, isn't it? Because we do not agree that this is who they are, hence you grooming them into being what you want them to be. This is why you are secretly grooming them behind the parents' backs, because it's indeterminate. You don't know that they're these things, and the parents don't know that they're these things, or may not agree with you. And they're concerned that, in fact, a bunch of people with otherwise sinister motives are getting illegitimate access to their children and influencing them to do things that they might not otherwise have wanted to do, using their position of authority as teachers inappropriately, again, I might add. And again, another big self-report was...
But in a way of also just being like, well, tomorrow you may even come in and say that cat sexual is a thing and we need the kids to be able to have the litter trays.
Well, if they don't have those litter trays, you're an evil right-wing bigot.
How dare you make us tell the parents that we're installing litter trays in the bathrooms? We should be able to do this under the cloak and dagger of secrecy.
Yes.
Like, right.
Mm. Anyway, so there was another big self-report here as well from Pink News. And again, this is the Pink News community. When the Tories decided recently they were going to revive the porn block. Apparently, this is going to put LGBT users at risk.
Of what?
So,
wait, wasn't this the meme we had to go get a wanking license? Yeah,
the wanking license is back.
Right. Just, can I have a porn pass, please? Yeah, just pay for it.
That's literally it. The online safety bill is expected to reach the House of Commons in March, and it will be tweaked to shield children from explicit materials. Pink News is just like, well, that's got to stop.
But hang on, what?
We've got to be against this, right? To keep under-18s away from porn sites, users will have to provide personal data, such as their credit card or passport details, to prove they're over 18. And so the argument is, well, what if this gets hacked? A database of pornographic users would be a treasure trove for hackers or blackmailers, especially for LGBT plus users.
What? Why?
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
Maybe people... Well, I don't know.
Blackmail anyone else. All the straights, they're just watching missionary position for the sole purpose of recreation porn.
Yeah, where... yeah, I guess so, you know. Yeah, so, Google tells us otherwise. But
I love the idea that everyone at Pink News is so like disassociated from the rest of society at this point. They're just like, yeah, the straights, what do they do? I just
But the point is, like, in Britain, what are you going to do?
They just watch kissing porn, I bet. Like,
look at them holding hands. Oh, yeah, look at the ankle.
Could blackmail them with that.
No, but that's the point. How are you going to blackmail someone in Britain in 2022
over
pornography? Come on, that's ridiculous, right? But this isn't where the big self-report comes in, right? Some sex work activists and experts have welcomed measures to ensure adult consensual engagement with commercial sex websites because they're not lunatics and groomers. Others argue only adults should be on porn websites. A lot of people, we agree with that. Others argue that improving sex and relationship education would be a more meaningful way of reducing harms faced by children. Jason Domino, a porn actor and sex worker rights activist, fears, quote, the true nature of the bill is not only about censorship, oh, we're against censorship all of a sudden, but about the government wanting to have leverage against organizations. Reducing the harms children face online, Domino said, could be, quote, more effectively achieved by contextualizing for children the fact there is sex, there is reality, and there is fantasy. The understanding of consent is also really important within this conversation. So he's not saying, I don't want children watching porn. He's saying, contextualize the porn.
There was a... Who was it? I think it was the daughter of Michael Gove or something who said exactly this in simpler terms, like a year ago or something, where she was like, yeah, we need to start making underage pornography, so it's age-appropriate. And I was like, what the fuck do you mean by that?
Stop swearing.
But she said, she said, no, yeah, I want it to just so... It's made for, like, 14-year-olds to watch, where both of the actors make sure they consent, so then kids will know about consent. And I was like... You're still proposing we show porn to kids.
Yeah. So in your view, kids watching pornography, A-OK. It's the kind of pornography.
She's conservative.
That's very conservative. But this is his argument. You know, it's like instead of preventing children from watching porn, we should contextualize for the children. It's like, no, we shouldn't. They shouldn't be watching it.
It's not a solution. I mean, look, there's a millions of ideas of how do you stop kids from watching porn, and frankly, sure. It seems like a bit of a dead-end goal, given the freedom of the internet.
Well,
and
I mean, it's up to the parents to make sure the kids don't have access to it.
That's the simplest solution, obviously. Yeah. But the idea that we make age-appropriate porn, no, that's not one. No. That's definitely one of the worst
ideas. The
idea
that we sit the kids down and explain the various kinds of porn to them and explain the difference between the porn and the watch. It's like, right, so go ahead, little Jimmy. Go and watch all the porn you want. You know, I know you're 12 years old, but just remember it's not reality. I'm sure you'll be fine. No.
Mr. Domino, I don't think that's going to work.
Absolutely not. Anyway. But and so his objection is, well, look, if we don't do this, we're going to be pushing children onto the dark web. It's like, I don't think we are. I think we're... I don't think we are, you
little
lunatic.
Jimmy's like, I need to download Tor.
Yeah, exactly.
it's the type boob.
It's fine. right? But he finishes with this. The queer community has a heritage of things being illegal, and so often sexual content has been more get away with what you can because there haven't been spaces for people to do it in a way that is supported and nurtured. For people who don't know what they like can feel safe, there's none of that being suggested. Right. They need a safe space so people can explore porn with children while feeling safe.
Is this Mr. Domino again?
This is Mr. Domino again. Because the queer community has a heritage of things being illegal, you know.
Oh, for fuck.
Absolute yikes from me.
Being queer is breaking the law, no matter which law. So if it's illegal, we'll do it.
I stand with the right-wing gays who are like, no porn for children. You don't diddle anyone under 18.
We follow the law.
Yeah, like, we're interested.
Radical.
So yeah, I'm just saying that's where I stand on that.
Oh, wow. Being part of the queer community means breaking the law, all of the laws.
Yeah, I would not go into the pink news community ever.
No, big mistake. Let's move on. So let's go to the Battle of Turf Island. God, I'm mad. Let's load this up. So, we now have the Battle of Turf Island. It is now going on, and the left have conceived that the Turfs have won.
Oh, excellent. That's another British victory.
Yeah, we had this debate before, who's going to win, and I reckon as people who are on either of those camps, maybe it could still fight on. Hmm. But the leftist approach is that the Turfs have definitely won, at least in Britain. It is the
last holdout. I love it. The 21st millennium's version of the Battle of Britain is, do women exist?
Occupied Europe has totally been taken over by the racial pride flag.
Yeah.
But this island, Turf Island, as it is called, is fighting on. And that's the left's opinion. So that's I'll demonstrate why. So we'll give this first one here so you can see GB News reporting on some news about Adele.
Yeah.
So after winning the first Gender Neutral Artist of the Year award, just kill me now.
Why?
Stupid. Adele said, quote, "I understand why the name of this award has changed, but I really love being a woman."
Oh, well, that's the speech of an oppressed person.
Too bad, Adele. You want to be a woman? Not on my watch.
We're gender abolitionists around here, Adele.
I'm not just saying that. Not on my watch was definitely response of quite a few leftists.
Oh, was it?
Very pissed off to her saying, "I love being a woman." No. We don't do that here. We don't enjoy...
I love the way that metaphorically this is literally Adele firing cannons across the channel, right?
I love being a woman. Bigot.
Boo.
So we go to the next one. We can see some of those boos in real time. So as Andy noticed here, a lot of radical leftists are angry that she said being a woman's pretty cool. So you can see someone here saying with a quote, and then so I really love being a woman, and then someone else being like, "Please no, Adele can't be a turf." That last comment, though ambiguous, could be perceived as turfy. Please no.
You're not allowed to enjoy being female and a woman now.
Yes. Wow. Being a woman is not allowed.
And I get told that I'm the misogynist.
There's also the funny thing about, you know, Caitlyn Jenner says, "I love being a woman, stunning and brave, fantastic." Yep. Adele says it, turf bigot.
The enemy.
A woman says it, another type of woman says it, and two different responses, which is why they're both
very
women.
Interesting. Yeah. That's
indistinguishable.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Which is why we know how to distinguish our response.
Excellent.
So if we move on from this, we can also go see that we are all turfs now, boys, in
Thank
this
God
island.
For pink news.
Yeah. So as you can see, Council of Europe compares the UK to Russia and Poland. Over virulent attacks on LGBT rights.
The allies, as we like to refer to them.
Dobry tak.
Against the axis of evil.
Yeah, so the...
I mean, it literally is
the... The Council of Europe, the...
It literally is.
The Europakt, the Reichspakt, the continent.
It's another pact against the Germans and German-occupied France.
We denounce the British, and all they do, says the Council of Europe... No. So the Council of Europe compares us to Poland, evil Poland, and the Russians who were fighting on the Eastern Front against this as well. The memes are real.
History doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. You know?
I wish I brought my Polish armband for resistance. God, it's beautiful. So parliamentarians said that as much as Europe has made progress in LGBT plus rights...
As much as the Wehrmacht has made progress into Russia.
As much as we have pushed into the Lebensraum, hate speech and hate crime have surged. Even though...
Oh, God.
Let's think about that for a minute. So the Council of Europe is sitting around is like, yeah, so everyone is free now, all the LGBT people, but the hate speech is up. So... Hilda. Got the Cafe Arena and talk about this. I'm going to keep making Hello, Hello references at this point. So the idea that the hate speeches
Hang on, sorry, just as a quick thing. I bet that there must be some sort of underground turf network in the continent.
The French Resistance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the turf resistance.
Yeah. The British airmen.
Yeah. Sending them supplies and morale. Sorry, women or adult human females. Pass it on.
She'll say this only once. watch Hello, Hello if you haven't. It's good fun. Yeah. But just the idea that, okay, everyone's free now, but the hate speech is up.
Yeah.
I think about that for a minute. It's like, okay, but everyone's free, but there's more hate speech. Right. Mm. How can that be, dum-dum?
Hmm.
Like, how can everyone suddenly, okay, all the gays are allowed to be gays in Europe and everyone, no one has a problem with that anymore. And it's not the 80s or anything.
But
whatever.
Why is it that when people weren't free to be whatever they're claiming to be,
there was so little hate speech.
Why weren't
against
yeah?
Gay
why
people
weren't people hateful against them?
No, in the 50s, no one hated gays. They would never speak it. They just kept it in their heads.
Right. Yeah,
it's just like you're an idiot.
People are just too polite.
Yeah, hate speech is really up.
I mean, it's not like what's the guy who invented the code breaking machine who got sterilized for being gay?
Oh,
Turing. Yeah.
Yeah, he never heard any hate speech.
No,
he lived in a perfect world where no hate speech existed.
Yeah, things are just way worse now.
Morons. The report took aim at a block of countries it's said to have launched virulent attacks against LGBT plus citizens for years. Hungary.
I feel like I'm literally reading the Reich's reports. You know, the British are landing forces in Normandy.
They have fought against the peace of Europe for years. 6 years. Hungary, Poland, and the Russian Federation. Turkey and the United Kingdom. I thought we're on the same base as Turkey on this.
Yeah.
Anti-trans voices are a direct challenge to democracy. The assembly says. Posey Park is just like, yeah. Turf dictatorship now. This is very much our democracy.
Yeah.
It's not yours.
Threat to democracy. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Again, from the Council of Europe.
Yes. Oh, like, God, yeah. Imagine.
You take it to piss. So they said it also was fueling the stagnation and backsliding in progress. Their aims chip away at LGBTI equality, sexual and reproductive rights, and women and children's rights.
Oh, good. I'm looking forward to hearing them explain to me what children's rights are.
Explain
when it
what?
Comes to LGBTI equality.
Yeah. There's also the women's rights. What's a woman?
Yeah.
So I haven't solved that one, have we?
Yeah, that's literally the hill the turfs are dying on right now.
Yeah, anyway. But the reason I mentioned Turf Island, so I mean, we have been referred to in this way by the Council of Europe, who are very mad that we continue our war against the continent. And you can see a response here from some LBC host who kind of lost her S in response to this.
The London colony, yeah.
The London colony was very offended. They were like, we stand with our leaders in Berlin.
Yeah.
And so she decided to do this little sermon about how bad the UK was. And I thought we'd go through some of it because it was beautiful.
Go on, then.
And let's play the first clip where she was saying that we were promised alphabet rule and it hasn't happened.
In Hungary, for example, homosexuality is still illegal. However, what this report noted is that the UK is moving backwards in terms of LGBTQ equality. And I watched a really interesting discussion earlier today with Ben Hunt, who you will remember was interviewed on this show yesterday. And he appeared on Owen Jones's podcast today. And he described being at a garden party at Number 10 during Theresa May's premiership with a number of other LGBTQ campaigners and key figures and charities celebrating what he described as this dossier of promises on LGBTQ rights that Theresa May's government was set to implement. And since then, those promises have been reneged on by Johnson's cabinet.
How could they do this?
They've done nothing about the Jews. They promised us that they were going to get rid of all those Jews. And nothing has been done.
There's also, I'm starting to feel more and more, I'm glad that we're in Swindon because I can feel the distance here between the city of London. She's like, yeah, do you remember Ben Hunt? Do you remember us talking about him? Do you recall the name
rings a bell.
Yeah, so he used to be the BBC's LGBT alphabet correspondent.
Right.
And then works for Vice, making smears against Kerry Badenoch.
Right.
And he was hanging out with Owen Jones. And then she's talking to him about...
Exactly. I was listening to Owen Jones' podcast, says the LBC host. Why would you be doing that if you're not a radical leftist? And they were talking about the high society. They were faluting it. It's like, yeah, I'm feeling like I'm a million miles away from you people. Thank God.
Like, you really are at the high point of the hive city that is London and your little towers.
Yeah.
Like, so we were all having a discussion.
The Reich is occupying Paris, and we were there at Versailles. Yeah. And, you know, like...
There's also the lie she starts off with there, saying it's illegal to be gay in Hungary. My understanding is it's not.
Right.
It's just an up and lie. There's a really funny aspect to that as well. Do you remember there was a... Do you know Orban?
Mm-hmm.
There's a member of his party who became an MEP and was campaigning, doing all this stuff as a conservative. Mm-hmm. And then he was caught in a gay orgy above a nightclub at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
And he snuck out and he was just like, oh, I was just listening to the music. There were a lot of leftists who were like, ah, ha, ha, look, conservative does gay orgy. Isn't this, hypocritical? It was like, no. Like, he's doing it behind closed doors. That's the
literally
complaint.
Don't care. Yeah.
It's like, no, I keep my gay orgies in my room instead of on the streets.
Yeah, thank
very
God.
Difficult for you
yeah.
to understand. But anyway, so
very conservative.
There's also that lie there. But then she moves on to the fact that she is very disappointed. And as I say, she thinks that the right has just keeps winning, just keeps on winning. Let's play.
While she held her role, Liz Truss was described by members of her own department as the Minister for Inequalities.
Based.
In March of last year, three key advisors to her and Kemi Badenoch resigned from the department, and they cited a hostile environment for LGBTQ people as their reason
Rommel
for doing
retreating
so.
West.
And then last week, it emerged that employees of the EHRC have voiced similar concerns. The Equalities and Human Rights Commission, a body that was set up specifically to advocate for equality and human rights, as their name would suggest, former and current members of staff went to Vice magazine and anonymously reported concerns that there was a similar anti-LGBTQ culture there.
American tanks rolling through Paris.
Yes.
All of our expansion is being rolled back.
But I love it. It's just like, we lost here, then we lost that. We lost on Liz Truss because Minister of Inequality. Mm. We lost trying to convert Kemi Badenoch to leftism because she's not a leftist. I told you to get lost. I love Kemi.
Yeah.
And then just we also lost on the Equality and Human Rights Commission. I don't know if we have that. I can't remember if I added it. But it's just them going to Vice and a bunch of text messages the Vice journo got. He put an article. And it's just like, I'm very upset.
Good. It's like, good.
You should be.
Yeah.
Moving on. So we'll go to the next clip, which is that she complains that we are Turf Island for essentially being anti-rape. Let's play.
Now, of course, on the surface of it, this is all about the so-called trans debate. And did you know that outside the UK, we are known as the transphobia capital of the world? We're often referred to as Turf Island.
Ooh.
TERF, of course, stands for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminist, because we lead the charge globally on demonising and misrepresenting trans
people. We're always at the forefront. First
That's
in, last out.
We can be proud of, is it? These are what the proposed changes to the Gender Recognition Act would mean. That it's easier for trans people to be listed as their true gender on their death and marriage certificates. This was turned in the media into a debate about women's spaces. The Gender Recognition Act had nothing to do with women's spaces. We've started to see all of these apparently women's rights organisations popping up all over the place, which strangely never talk about women's rights in any other context than where there is this kind of false tension between cisgender women's rights and transgender rights. That's the only time they want to talk about women's rights. They don't talk about women's safety in any other context other than when it's an opportunity to bash trans people.
Oh, sorry, Sarah Everard. Do we ever talk about that? Does that ever come up? Oh, what absolute tosh that is.
Yeah. There's also just we are Turf Island for not wanting biological men in women's prisons.
Yes.
That's what you're getting at. The women's spaces.
Yes.
We'll mention it again because I've mentioned, Karen White a million times, but it's not only her. There are a whole bunch. There are the Turf accounts that I follow that keep making like compilations of faces at this point, like the grooming gangs.
Like the grooming gangs.
Yeah. Because there's a funny thing for people who don't know. You can't say certain things about the members of the grooming gangs, as in the common factors. So instead, people just put their faces together and let you figure that one out. And the same thing's now taking place with female rapists.
Basically a quick physiognomy check.
Yeah, you can look at the female rapist faces and determine how female they are. And as you can see here, the Sunday Times released showing that, despite making up only less than 1% of the population, they are 5% of all the sexual assaults within female prisons. Yeah, moving on. So let's go to the next one, because as she's hit on there, the women's rights debate, as she puts it, well, this is the chink in the left's armor, and this was such a good ground for the right to fight them on and have won, in her opinion.
Excellent.
Lovely to hear, so let's hear it.
What I will say to you is, bigotry doesn't and won't stop with the 1%.
Okay.
This moral panic that has been whipped up around trans people is a chink in the armor of human rights.
Oh.
And people will use that chink to take away all kinds of hard-won rights for other minorities and oppressed people too.
We invaded through Belgium fair and square.
So I wish it had surprised me yesterday when I saw a headline in the Daily Mail which read thusly, "Has Cambridge University broken out of its woke straitjacket? College refuses to fly divisive pride flag because only its own banner unites the whole community."
Oh, finally.
I'm enormously troubled by that.
Yes!
I just thought she's so downtrodden. Yeah. And it's so like, I can't believe they've done this.
This is literally Hitler in the bunker getting with lost Belgium.
Fegelein, Fegelein! Der Krieg ist verloren. But also...
It's just great.
The LGBT, the T part of the leftist ideology on gender and whatnot, that is the soft underbelly of leftism.
This is the overextension though, isn't it?
Yes, and it has been the point in which the right has been able to just smash through because you're talking bollocks. You have nothing to stand on in this regard, and it is evidence. And as we can see by this example that she gives, which is like, well, why can't we just have the racial pride flag flying instead of the British one?
Because it doesn't unite everyone in the college, unlike the college flag like you just explained.
Dumb. This is the story, as she mentions, from the Mail, saying, you know, oh my God, how dare they not fly the racial pride flag. If we can scroll down, John, just so people can see, that is what I'm talking about, which is the one with the pincer movement inside the flag. So keep going until you find the flag, please. As you can see there, which segregates black and brown people.
I mean, it literally looks like an invasion in the gay space.
I know I mention it every time, but we're going to be less divisive by segregating the black and browns. You tried.
But also the trans.
Yeah, but also it's the flag of a ideology, and it's flown over conquered territory.
It's literally a Nazi flag.
Yeah.
That's what a Nazi flag is. It's the flag of a goddamn ideology.
And then we go to the last clip here when she complains, no. The racial pride flag is just about inclusion, my friends. Let's play.
That's ideological.
By the notion that the pride flag is divisive.
How could you?
The pride flag is a statement. If you fly the pride flag, what you're saying is LGBTQ people are welcome and safe here. You're not saying straight people aren't welcome. It might say straight people who aren't going to make LGBTQ people feel welcome and safe aren't welcome.
Oh, well, so we have got
but
some.
That's a necessary statement to make.
It's just a...
Oh, my God!
It's a swastika. It's just a symbol of German pride.
We're not saying Jewish people aren't welcome. We're just saying Jewish people who object to Germanism aren't welcome.
It's just inevident. This is just ideology.
The fact that she's... Yeah, it's inclusive. Except for those people.
Yes.
You know, we've literally marked out a group of people who are not involved in inclusivity and who aren't welcome, and that's a necessary thing.
They are part of
to maintain the purity of the Reich.
They're part of the exclusivity of our inclusive movement.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
The Reich is impure if those people are allowed to exist.
Yeah.
So it's incredible.
She then goes on to list some homophobic attacks in Bournemouth and Edinburgh and a murder in Cardiff, and then mentions that's why we need that flag.
Like, that Jewish crimes,
make any sense. Again, the point is you can fly the flag of the college because it is of the college, which is where you are, dumb. So
the crimes are already illegal, so what's the problem?
So, I mean, these are just ideological flags for essentially authoritarian rule.
Well, it's a stamp of conquest.
Yeah, I thought we'd quickly, I'm just going to mention the secret police aspect of this as well, of course, because you get informants and people who spy on each other, such as the police. And I think we just quickly end off with this FairCop stuff. So you can see here, this post from FairCop a little while back, saying in February, LGBT Police UK tweeted, "We see you, we have reported you, at Gender Critics." Last week, it tweeted, "We stand for Stonewall."
So, I mean, it's literally a Nazi infiltration into the UK police.
But it's the police openly saying, we are partisan and we stand with the intersectionalists.
Yeah.
Right, you can't do that. That's against the law. You ought to know something about that, being the police and all, but apparently not. So if we move on, we can go to the next one. You can see FairCop saying, these are secret police because we tried to contact them and ask who the hell runs it, and they told us bugger off.
Really?
Because we're a community support.
The LGBT Gestapo.
We don't have to tell you. So yes, they are as literal secret police, as FairCop found out. And then they were able to then start pinning down who worked there through their, investigations, doing probably more investigative work than anyone looking into burglary these days. And as you can see here, they managed to identify one. As you can see here, this was a chief inspector who, instead of inspecting burglaries, is inspecting your thoughts and is very proud of that fact. And what does he get for it? He gets sued. That's what. So this goes to the next one, in which we can see FairCop saying, "Next week, we are in chambers to agree action against LGBT Police UK and those chief constables facilitating the cartel."
Love it.
"You may need to schedule some legal time," and then just twags a bunch of people who have pissed them off.
So, excellent.
We'll end it there. I had more stuff, but we don't have time for it. But it's just, we are Turf Island and we are actually making progress.
Yeah.
So that's all good to see.
We win our wars. That's all we can take.
I told you, the turtle win.
Excellent, excellent. Anyway, so moving over to America now, the establishment, the regime of Biden and, well, really Psaki, are trying to rewrite the history of lockdowns, and I don't think we should let them. So it begins with the sort of sudden propaganda turn. Now, you may remember, go back a year or so ago, lockdown. Oh, you're costing people's lives. Blah, blah, blah. Exactly. It was pro-lockdown propaganda all day, every day. And now suddenly you get pieces like this from The Atlantic. This is just one example of many I could have chosen. Open everything. In March 2020, and this guy literally says, I wrote that America should cancel everything in response to the acute threat posed by COVID-19. Mass events should be postponed, companies should send their employees home from the office, and schools should move classes online. I remain convinced that this was the right thing to do. Well, we'll get to that. Before anyone was vaccinated, before doctors even had a preliminary understanding of how to treat the disease, these measures were necessary to save lives and avert a collapse in the medical system. Really, what the doctors use to treat the disease? Just out of interest. Got a podcast on that you can go watch on listsees.com. But anyway, moving on. He goes, 2 years later, you know, everything's changed now. And so now we need to, open up. It's like, yeah, because everyone outside of, well, like California and New York has opened up. And Canada, and it's become, lockdowns have become obviously unnecessary, mask mandates, vaccine mandates have become obviously tyrannical, and people are not having this anymore. That's what this is about. But I'm going to skip through most of this article, actually, because...
But I just love how he opened that up with what I thought was going to be admission of guilt. I've done something stupid.
Well, he did admit guilt.
But no, but he said, I thought this stupid thing, and I still stand by it.
I did the right thing all the time. I'm never wrong, even when the circumstances that I'm advocating for are the wrong thing to do.
Even when I completely changed my viewpoint, I have never been wrong.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's why these people should not be allowed to get away with this. Like, get to the next one. This is Dr. Liana Wen, which is CNN's resident gaslighter. Look at this, right? In the coming days, we'll see many governors and local leaders lift mask mandates. This is the right step and is needed shift from government-imposed requirement to individual decision. It helps to preserve public health authority for when it's needed again. Sorry, you're doing this in response to them doing this. You're not leading the charge here, saying, oh, well, there's no need for mask mandates now, therefore we should lift them. Everyone's lifting me like, oh yeah, that was the right thing to do. I was for that all the time. The science has changed, as it were, which is literally where she's going with this. We can go to the next one, right? She goes, before there were two camps, for and against pandemic restrictions. Yeah, because you were part of that left-wing administrative managerial crap crew who were like, yeah, no, everyone who's against lockdowns and mandates is an anti-vaxxer. They're far-right, white supremacist, Nazi, blah, 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 blah. And now it's like, oh, but we need a nuanced position on this. Now there's a third. Pro-restrictions earlier, but recognizing it's a different time now.
No, you didn't.
What changed? Oh, it was uprisings, wasn't it? Uprisings everywhere. People just going, no, this is clearly not what's needed. And there are literally, you know, entire countries of people that we can use as studies for this. But you've realized the power is waning. It's broken.
Oh, I want to nail this down as well, because mm-hmm. they're going to argue, oh, no, it's because everyone's vaccinated.
No, they're not.
You remember back in November when everyone mm-hmm. was vaccinated in this country, and yet they mm-hmm. were still, no, we need a lockdown for Christmas. And they did it.
Yeah.
They officially did it. Everyone ignored them.
Yes.
So don't ever forget that that is what this case. Yes. They are not changing it now because everyone's vaccinated, as I assume she's going to.
And things in California and New York, right up until like, you know, this week, have been really bad. Even while like everyone else, like, has been in many other places, has been basically nothing going on, especially here, and in places like Florida where they've had really low COVID cases, and yet New York and California have been just tyrannical cesspits. And now she's like, but look, you know, we want, you know, we in the third group that I've just carved out for myself, because up until this very moment, I was 100% pro-lockdown and all restrictions. Well, now there's a third group. Pro-restrictions earlier, but recognizing it's a different time now, this group wants to move from vitriol and divisiveness to nuance and compromise. Oh, were you all about compromise, were you? Oh, there was so much compromise coming from the lockdown camp, right? Look at this, right? Let's go to the next one. She was demanding evil. She was demanding a two-tier system where unvaccinated people should not be allowed out of their homes. Where was the nuance and reason when you were creating a class of second-class citizens? Where was that? You absolute gaslighter. Honestly, if you think this is going to get you out of vitriol and divisiveness and nuance and comment, you don't deserve it. You do not deserve it. You are just sad that you lost. That's what this is about. You are sad that you didn't get to be the tyrant you wanted to be. And I tell you what, we'll go through this thread, right? I found on Twitter, I think it's a really interesting thing because I think this underpins the general understanding of what the truckers have accomplished, right? And I think a lot of this can be put down to Boris Johnson messing up so badly with Partygate that he was like, okay, well, I'm just going to have to lift all these restrictions then. And then the rest of the world not really understanding that, but seeing, and they see the reports, England's lifting all restrictions. Like, oh, they're doing it. Why shouldn't we be doing it? Good. Boris blunders into a success accidentally again, right? But also the truckers, and there's mainly, I think, the truckers in Canada, where it's like, we're not going to take it, right? And so this person is a left-wing organizer who was an organizer for Occupy Philadelphia and Abolish ICE and various other smaller emergent left-wing movements. So professional Alinskyite organizer, right? As you can see, bitch media contributor, blah, 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 right? You can see this person has been deeply involved in politics for a long time. And so they are the enemy, but they are also experienced. And when your enemy is telling you exactly what's happening from their perspective, maybe it's worth us listening, right? This is what she says. The signs I look for to tell me an emergent movement has legs. Well, they're all there for this US copycat of the far right Canadian trucker convoy. Well done, Nance. You're far right now. I'm looking at whether there's a certain amount of social media buzz. There's lots. But also whether there's potential for resourcing. There's plenty. Look at the Canada GoFundMe precedent and institutional support, which is there. Right. Most importantly, though, I look for grassroots momentum. Are people excited enough that they're actually putting their real names to this and making concrete plans? Are they engaging with this engaging with each other around this offline? And the answer is very much yes. This isn't like White Lives Matter, where white supremacists generated buzz but couldn't get institutional backing or people committed enough to go by their real names in organizing chats. There's no OPSEC. People are meeting offline already. The digital numbers are huge. Folks are networking in localized chats, building relationships, marshalling resources, meeting offline to organize. There's not just buzz. This is a burgeoning movement. As in, this is a revolt. This is a revolt against the left-wing administrative state that's been trying to impose lockdowns and total societal control. Right. And this is what
one else was doing this.
No, Lena Wen, the LGBT flag flying administrators of the entire world have lost, and they know they're losing, and so now they're trying to pivot. Going, well, let's not be divisive. Oh, we should open up everything up now. The science has changed. You know,
please
it's
forgive
not
me.
Exactly.
Please don't cut off my head.
Please don't drag me out into the street and shoot me. Is what they're saying, right? And so she thinks that this is going to carry on, right? But the interesting thing though is that she says this could be the foundation of a genuinely anti-left-wing social movement that could overthrow what they've achieved, right? She says, there will be a whole lot of folks who have gotten a taste for organizing and activism and will deepen their involvement further, finding other ways to engage. They will build relationships. They will build power. Here's what that can look like. And she gives some examples. My lawyer from Occupy is now the Philly DA, and my editor for the Occupy Gazette is now a state senator. That's how these people get into power. That's how change happens through the institutions, right? One of the people who organized with me around the tax march is now a city council person, and a comrade from Abolish ICE is working for them. We found each other in an emergent movement. Those with the experience helped those without learn, and those who were inspired went on to organize more, and some of them succeeded, at least in part because of the relationships they built and the skills they learned in the emergent movement spaces. Good. They know that this trucker thing, they've pushed it too hard, too fast, too far. And now people are like, no, this attitude is the problem, you know, and it's good.
So many people are going to be radicalized against them and take it on in
absolutely
their lives.
And they're taking the massive L at this point where they're not even standing by their own policies, right? Let's watch this little clip from Psaki.
I would note that the president has been clear. We're not pushing lockdowns. We've not been pro-lockdown. That has not been his agenda. Most of the lockdowns actually happened under the previous president. What our objective has been is to conveying that we have the tools we need to keep our country open, thanks to the president's leadership and focus on fighting the virus. And that's reflected in the fact that 98% of schools are open. Over 210 million Americans are fully vaccinated. We have the tools to avoid lockdowns, and we're not moving back. And that's our intention at this point.
So you guys do believe that the lockdowns were more harmful than helpful?
Again, I would point you to our scientific experts on the specifics of a study, but the president's agenda, the president's approach has not been lockdowns. It has been using the tools we have to prevent that.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Hate what she said there. It's just like, she thinks you're an idiot. She thinks you're all idiots. She thinks that she can just say, well, no, we were never for that, and you're going to believe me because we're always in the now, and you don't remember what happened 5 minutes ago? It's just unreal.
You're stupid children who will just say anything I say.
And you don't have access to Google for some reason?
I mean, maybe that's a condemnation of the press, Paul. They really are just that bloody stupid.
Maybe.
She thinks she can get away with
it. Maybe, but the people at home must have been like, well, no, I distinctly remember you constantly going, we're going to have, you know, all of these restrictions, and this is good, right? And so this is just insufferable. I mean, Biden did promote the lockdowns. Obviously, he said he'd lock down the country if the spread of the coronavirus warranted it.
As if you didn't know, but there's the fact check.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, here's the fact check. You know, but and the next one as well, if the president has done his job, had he done his job from the beginning, condemning Trump, this is, all the people would still be alive. All the people, I'm not making this up, look at the data.
Saying that if he locked down the country, everyone would have been alive, no one would have died whatsoever.
It's mad.
Of anything.
It's absolutely mad. The idea that things, Biden's never been for lockdowns. We know you were.
I mean, this is why I was joking about where's Iraqi shoe guy?
Yeah, exactly.
Just to throw shoes at the press pool.
You absolute liars. You phenomenal liars. And but what I find amusing is like Florida man basically predicted all this, right? So you've got like, you know, DeSantis just being like, no, we're just gonna do the right thing, and then you've got everyone basically copying this, and then you got a bunch of predictions. You get to the next one, where it's like, you know, he was just like, yeah, we're not going to close the beaches. Probably not spreading. Everyone's like, oh, he didn't do it. And then it turns out that that's the case. Beaches didn't spread COVID. So your hysteria, California, lovely beaches, all closed.
Do you remember them digging up the sand and putting it in the skate parks?
Yeah. Preventing kids from going to skate parks. Yeah. It's unbelievable the level of tyranny that they imposed on their own populations. And now that it's gone too far and people are rising up against it, they're like, well, we were never in favor of that. So, I mean, like, you know.
Why did you do it?
Yeah, exactly. Why did you do it?
It doesn't make any sense.
Because you're lying. Because you're lying because you got caught out, because you failed. You know, you thought you could impose all of this tyranny and scaremonger people into doing what they were told. And that turns out not to be true. You know, it turns out that enough people were like, no, we're not having any of this. And then, but the thing is, the lockdowns, oh, they happened under the previous president. Are you... Right. Let's have a look at what Trump thought of lockdowns. Because Trump was not in favor of lockdowns, right? All Trump really did is travel restrictions. That's really all he did. Because at the beginning of January 31st, everyone's like, oh, there's this weird disease coming out of China. So Trump's like, great, no more Chinese. And Nancy Pelosi's...
Sensible solution.
Yeah, no more Chinese coming into America. Nancy Pelosi's there hugging Chinese people in the market, going, go and hug a Chinese person, don't be a racist.
Would it have anything to do with Chinese people who are here?
Yeah, exactly. Why are you going to them, you know? Exactly. Go to China and hug a Chinese person, Nancy. See how that goes. And so Trump's like, you know, we closed those borders very early against the advice of lots of professionals, and we turn out to be right. I took a lot of heat for that. He said in March. He did. And he was right, right? And so come March 20th, this was building up. So everyone, by March, and I went back through the Google machine and checked by month. In January and February, no one's talking about lockdowns. No news articles. Come March, big spike. Oh, we need lockdowns. And so this was Trump's. I don't think we'll ever find that necessary, right? Trump's like, you know, we're not going to do that. That's not Trump's opinion. And so the local governors who did lockdown, that's their choice. And a lot of it was against Trump's best intentions and best advice. He didn't want the lockdowns. And in fact, by like literally 3 days later, Trump is tweeting out furiously, we cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself. At the end of the 15-day period, we'll make decisions to which way we want to go. As in, he's demanding that they stop the lockdowns.
Your prediction that his era is just going to look more and more golden as time goes on really is coming true.
I told you. And in fact, you can watch this next clip from CBS News. This is from 6th of April, 2020.
Tonight, the president says he won't order a national lockdown and he'll leave it up to the governors. This comes as Alabama and Missouri just joined 40 other states that are urging people to stay home. That covers nearly 95% of the U.S. population.
Florida went under a stay-at-home order this morning, but what's changed isn't clear. This beach is still open, and religious services are allowed.
We don't really know how all these measures work, as it's never been tried on American society before.
As of now, there is no national mandate. The result, a confusing patchwork of rules.
Is it time to institute a national lockdown?
I think we can do much, much better than we're doing right now.
No, it's Fauci's response. I think we can do better. Well, go on. She's asking you, should we do a national lockdown? And you're like, we can do better. What does that mean, Fauci?
I don't know. I'm a human weasel. Bye.
Exactly. That's exactly what it means. But the point is that's just from April 2020, just so you can see, Trump is not ordering a national lockdown, right? And it's because Trump doesn't have the authority to order a national lockdown, and he knew it, And Joe Biden must have known it, and yet he was saying, well, I'll do it. And it's like, why would you say that?
But neither the will either.
He didn't have the will. He didn't have the authority. He didn't try to do it, right? So Trump had dismissed this notion, and they say, you know, but does the president have the constitutional statutory authority to issue some form of national lockdown? It's likely he does not, constitutional experts say. You're no kidding. You know, and so they go, oh, look at this confusing patchwork. Yeah, well, the local governors did what they wanted because that's their right in the American Republic. And you sat there going, Jen Psaki's like, well, this happened under the previous president, as if that was his fault or his intention. Dishonest, absolute filthy liar. Absolutely. I can't stand it. But this is all because, and again, Godspeed Canadian truckers and everyone else who's resisted this, you're the ones who BTFO'd them. You did this. Pat yourselves on the back, right? And so anyway, let's just get to the John Hopkins analysis that she was talking about, because they say, quote, overall, we conclude that lockdowns are not an effective way of reducing mortality rates during a pandemic, at least not during the first wave of the COVID-19 pandemic. Then they weren't following science, were they? You know, they were imposing something.
There was no science.
Exactly, there was no science. And they were imposing an ideological regime for control. We know they weren't following the science because the science has literally just come out and they've backtracked completely going, oh, well, we were never for lockdowns. No, you demanded the lockdowns because you wanted the lockdowns, not because of the science or anything like that, right? And so just to very quickly skim over this, they say that, you know,
we're following the science. This has never been done before. Yeah, but I'm following it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's never been done before. What the fuck are you... What are you following?
Stop swearing. Sorry, but anyway.
It's infuriating.
It is infuriating, right? That just the sheer lies, the gall of them to lie to your face and expect you to just eat up. I'm not surprised that people throw shoes. But they say, anyway, the John Hopkins study says they have contributed to reducing economic activity, raising unemployment, reducing schooling, causing political unrest, contributing to domestic violence, and undermining liberal democracy. Yeah, that seems like a good reason not to do them. But it also seems like the reasons they were trying to do them. These costs to society must be compared to the benefits of the lockdowns, which our meta-analysis has shown are marginal at best. Such a standard cost-benefit calculation leads to a strong conclusion. Lockdowns should be rejected out of hand as a pandemic policy instrument. Checkmate. Left-wing administrative gits. It's over. You lost this argument completely. And the thing is as well, like this, the cost of these lockdowns are going to be with us for generations. I mean, I should have got I saw the other day that apparently babies born in lockdown have had a severe IQ drop, which is terrible. Like we've had like the oldest England pub in England shut down for thing, you know. Just
the personal cost of the English.
So. Yeah, no, this is what really matters. Yeah. This pub was 793 AD. Are you kidding me? Like that's a pub that Alfred the Great could have gone to.
Yeah, I love how they list. Like, it survived plagues and the wars, but not the lockdowns.
Whereabouts in England was it?
Hertfordshire.
Hertfordshire, right. You probably didn't go to that particular pub.
Apparently they're under talks to have it reopened. So if you're in the area and you want to own a pub, I mean, do your duty.
Well, I think we probably should. And if they get a crowdfunder going, I'll definitely donate. But anyway, and so the best estimate, as you posted on Twitter the other day, is that the best estimate is the reduced COVID-19 mortality by 0.2% on average.
Yeah.
Ruining our civilizations, facilitating tyranny for 0.2%. Best estimate. You lose. Anyway,
let's go to video comments.
So, Colin, about that segment you did with Thaddeus Russell, he was also on the Joe Rogan Experience, and you could basically see Joe's mind kind of rot a little bit because this is around the time whenever the gender debate was basically kicking up in sports. And of course, this guy was right on the lines that you are kind of seeing right now. It is interesting to see him degrade further, but then again, what can you expect for these people?
I didn't really catch the start of that.
Well, it was aimed at you, so I thought I'd just read through some of the comments that we're going to read out.
Sorry, I didn't really catch the name at the start, so I didn't really understand what you were referencing. Do you want to replay just the start? Because I'm trying to get the name. Sorry, I know it's a bit of a...
So, Colin, about that segment you did with Thaddeus Russell.
Thaddeus Russell.
He was also on the Joe Rogan Experience.
Who?
And
Thaddeus Russell?
I don't know who that is. I don't know. It doesn't ring a bell. Sorry, I may have just forgotten. I've been off ill.
So. Yeah, we'll have to look it up.
Sorry, mate. It's my bad. Let's go to the next
but
one.
But we should probably discuss the villains, shouldn't we? Well, the show did something interesting with villains recently. They put two of them up against each other. Now, in the modern writing corner, we have the MLA. They are explicitly political. One of them is literally a politician, and another's a journalist. And they're essentially okay, libertarians. They believe that a license to use your superpowers is wrong, and want to kickstart a civil war because of it. The other side, well, we'll discuss them tomorrow.
Look, I admire more than anything your complete resistance to me hating every second of these video comments. But okay, fine. Let's carry on.
Some companies have made supposedly giant fighting robots, but there haven't really been any fights because they were either too dangerous to fight or they didn't want to destroy their showpieces.
Set in a surprisingly recognizable dystopian future where the Cold War hadn't ended, Robot Jocks is a delightful bit of nonsense where the jocks pilot robots in controlled games to decide geopolitical matters that would otherwise be decided by war. Think of it as Dueling Knights meets anime, wrapped up in 80s masculinity and schlock.
That actually sounds awesome.
Did that actually happen in history or not? The idea of like, oh, my best champion versus your best champion.
Yes, it did.
Did they actually follow through? Because if I lost, my best champion would die. I'd be like, all right, kill them all.
Yeah, it never solved anything. There was a famous battle of the 300 champions between Argos and Sparta, where the men went out into a field. They all fought to basically the death, where there were two Spartans left and one Argive, but the Spartans left the field and the Argive was left. So the Argives, I think I've got that the right way around. But the Argives claimed that they'd won. The Spartans claimed they'd won because they had spirit and nothing was solved and they had to carry on with the war. Because it doesn't solve any of the conflict.
Do you reckon they killed everyone and it was those three left? They went, should we just leave and say that? Yeah, right.
It doesn't solve any of the problems.
No,
it's not a solution, unfortunately.
Since Carl hasn't had time to read C.S. Lewis, I thought I would summarize what I think is one of his most important observations. If nature is something to be manipulated, which is what modern schools teach, and if humans are just a part of nature being nothing but physical and chemical processes, that means that humanity is something to be manipulated. And because some people are better at controlling their environment than others, we would naturally end up with two classes of people. Lewis called these two classes the conditioners and the conditioned.
I mean, that's exactly what it is in the Brave New World book club. And this is exactly the thesis of Uncle Ted in The Industrial Society and Its Consequences.
What, a bit of transhumanism there?
No, the industrial society will end up engineering its own kind of human.
Yeah.
And he seems to be right. We should do a book club on it at some point. I just don't want to do it and get in trouble. honestly, it's a fascinating read. And it's one of those things where I don't understand why he resorted to terrorism. Because I think that if he just like printed out a bunch of copies and given them to people, he would have become famous.
I didn't really understand the motivation for the pipe bombs.
He was a professor.
It seems kind of out of the blue. It's like, I've written all these things. He's got all these. Yeah. So a pipe bomb people. What?
Yeah, professor writes book, doesn't try and get it published, pipe bombs people instead. Terrorized the New York Times into publishing it for him. It's like, they probably would have done a review. Like, they probably would have talked about it. Like, you know, I don't know why I don't understand the terrorism. And the book's not about terrorism
either.
Could
be bothered to wait? I don't know.
the book's like a philosophical treatise. It's not about, you know, it's not encouraging people to kill each other.
Is he still in prison?
He is, and he's apparently recently been diagnosed with cancer.
Damn. Does he do interviews?
I don't know if we can do one, but F's in the chat for Uncle Ted there, lads. Yeah. Anyway.
Since F1 racing was brought up yesterday, I thought it would be relevant to bring up our theory on exobionics. See, they want to make racing mechs, but like most people, they're suffering from too expensive to have competitors. Nor do they seem to be releasing any how-to books. But given the structure and color, it kind of makes me want to build one out of PVC. I could probably adapt my power armor controller to something like it. And they've also commented on my channel a while back. Should I take a whack at it?
Hmm. Maybe.
If you want to, I don't know. I don't like it. It looks like crab, which... I don't know, I like crabs, but I feel like mechs and whatnot should look kind of human, otherwise I start getting Xenos vibes.
Stargate, but this is a bit Necron.
Destroy this.
I've got PTSD of Necron, so... just saying.
I'm going to buy your boy some more stuff.
No.
Let's go to the next one.
Do not buy my boy some more stuff.
The people will not complain! We, the people, will not complain! We, the people, will not complain! We, the people, will not complain!
of the Canadian winter as well.
Yeah.
God, I love that energy.
It's so good.
Yeah, and that's why Saki and the regime are like, I think we may have bitten off a bit more than we can chew here, boys.
Yeah.
Are the Americans are going to copy the truck convoy? Okay. We're already having supply chain issues. Like, let's just backtrack now.
I did see, I didn't read the full thing. I saw Julie Hartley-Brewer saying that Boris has moved forward the getting rid of all restrictions whatsoever a month earlier as well.
Isn't it today, in fact?
Yeah, like he just moved it forward because he was just like, yeah, I just got to get rid of it. And it's just like, okay. It's so evident that it was literally just about people standing up.
Yeah, and it was about power. It's about control and power. And if you let them, then they were going to do it.
Yeah.
Good on you, Canadians.
We are reaching the end of phase two.
Excellent.
That's wonderful. Yeah. I do like the Romanian flag, especially with the one with the hole in it, because
mm-hmm.
it just reminds you of the anti-communist stuff. So, I think it's fitting to some extent. Yeah.
Tony D and Little Joan with another Legend of the Pines, the Scottish Rite Auditorium in Collingswood, New Jersey. It is haunted by one of its former owners, a man by the name of William Hurley, who died in 1928. Hurley was a devout Catholic, and the Knights of Columbus would be excommunicated from the Catholic religion if they ever became a Mason. Hurley's widow sold the building off to the Masons, who still have an office there to this day.
Love it.
Alrighty.
That was fun and fascinating.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Will says, I hope Florida Man hasn't missed the opportunity to take a leaf out of the left's playbook. He can give a bill a name that would look really bad if you oppose it. Who's going to campaign against the child safeguarding bill or similar? Exactly. That's exactly why it being an unnamed bill and allowing the left to essentially coin the name for it, terrible strategy.
I don't know the ins and outs. I mean, maybe it was like you've got to get the bill in between a certain time or something.
The sure, then just just literally call it the child safeguarding bill. What are we trying to do?
Like even just a normie name.
The parental security bill, you know, whatever. You know, just anything. Don't just leave it unnamed so the left can name it.
Save our kids.
And this has been the problem with like, you know, the anti-nonce bill. Yeah.
Stop noncing in schools. The left's like, we oppose this. Damn, all right, yeah. That
this
was
anti-LGBT.
Biden opposes this.
But that's the thing. You've got to... but that's the point. You're capturing the framing. You know, you've got to capture the framing in order so they look bad by merely opposing your advance. And that's what the left has been doing for many years. They're experts at it. And you're absolutely right, Will. We should be taking a leaf out of their playbook. Bradley says, does that mean Twitter will need to collect people's passports or licenses in order to determine someone's age since there's a lot of porn on there? How does Twitter get around this without banning porn on the site? That's a great question.
It's not even just porn, mate. The latest thing I saw, they're debating it now within the online harms bill. If you sign up for any social media in the UK, you need to be able to give over your ID to be able to use it. That's the new bill if it passes.
My kids don't have any ID.
I know it's great for you, but it's just, what the hell is wrong with our government? It's like, yeah, you need ID to be able to sign up for RuneScape.
I hold the position of the Chinese government.
I know you have your own little firewall.
Absolutely. I don't care about that at all. This just makes my firewall 10 feet tall.
All the other things they could be doing with their time, they're just like, yeah, we'll do this.
No. Look, the left are howling about it, so I'm actually not going to oppose it. Right? As long as the left are howling, I'm happy.
That's my philosophy.
I'm not going to read that out, Soy Boy Trudeau, but they are sick.
Oh, well, you're right.
They are sick. You are right. That's
wrong.
Yeah, you can go look on the website page if you want to see what Soy Boy Trudeau's comment is. It's very amusing. I don't think I'm going to read it though. Sorry. Charlie says, regarding DeSantis going after the groomers, I'm pretty sure any Slaneshi cultists in charge of the kids would pervert them. Thankfully, we have Inquisitor DeSantis to purge the unclean. Yeah, I mean, this is literally purging the unclean. Love it. Catastrophic Regression Threshold says, morning, guys. On the kids bit, I think the idea of children belonging to a community actually works. However, only in small communities where everyone holds the same values and haven't been infected by radical insanity. I don't even know if that's the case. I think that the children belong to the parents. They are also part of a community, but they're not owned by the community. I don't think they should be viewed in that way. XYNZ says, it's cruel because they cannot have their own kids to raise as their own, with their own values, quote unquote. So you're denying them access to inflict their degeneracy upon yours. I mean, that's literally how they're looking at this. Just saying. Baron von Warhawk, what? Do you want to stop grooming your kids with weird sexual brainwashing and actually teach kids maths instead? You must be an anti-gay fascist. That's where we're at. I love the self-reports. It's like, no, you can't pervert children with porn. This is anti-gay.
Well, anti-LGBT.
Well, yeah. Clear. Oh, sorry, yeah, I'll make my joke more clear. But it's a big self-report, I'm certainly. Chris says, the sexual revolution is so divorced from reality, it's quite sad.
I mean, it's almost as good, though. I've got to go and get that line from that Pink News article after this to just frame it somewhere. It was just like, to be queer is to break all the laws. Really? Okay.
I've got a long history of breaking laws as queers.
But that's my standard. It's just like, okay, whatever the law, I'll break it because I'm queer. Like,
yeah. So what's the law in front of me? I'm not allowed to have sex with children. What do you call two people living together, combining the resources and having sex? A union. What do you call two people living together, combining the resources and risking having children when having sex? A marriage. Lord Nerevar says, Libs of TikTok is doing a stellar job of holding these groomers to account in American schools. They all need to go. Yeah, Libs of TikTok is doing great. Ignacio says, I've always thought that teachers are really important to making learning engaging and maybe even fun, but F that. I'd rather give kids boring grade books to read and then do exams instead of allowing them to be exposed to these groomers. Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking, right, go back to Victorian schools, where it's just very stern schoolmaster. He's just like, right, now you've got like 15 pages of like Edward Gibbon to read, you know? Tell me about the economic situation of the decline of the Roman Empire in the 3rd century and what the purpose of Diocletian's reforms were. Now, Jenkins, you know?
To be fair, this is a bit of a meme, but then you think, imagine if they were all Starkian. Yeah, that would work.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they used to be. Yeah. You know, Starkey's a holdover from an era that's long gone and we should never have let go. Charlie says, teachers want to show kids porn to learn about sex. It's like watching the Fast and Furious films to learn how to drive. Well, he's not wrong. M1 Ping says, a woman is an adult human female on the beaches, on the landing grounds, in the fields and in the streets. We shall define woman in the hills. We shall never surrender. Turf Churchill, probably. Yeah. I mean, it's basically Posey Parker's, like, battle cry.
Yeah.
You know? George says, the good brothers at Faircop are doing their best to stop the treasonous followers of Slaanesh. Britain has not broken from reality yet. Well, that's the thing. We've got a long tradition of being empiricists. So this continental nonsense, this idealistic continental nonsense, I'm not surprised. It's actually us that have been like, yeah, it's just not true, though, is it? You know, oh, the female is, and a woman is anyone who defines themselves. Yeah, yeah, no.
Whereas the continentals are like, yeah, but I can think it, and therefore it's true.
Yes. So
you keep believing that.
Yep, and I do love the World War II analogies here as well, because it really fits.
I mean, the only one that doesn't there is Hungary, of course, because they're on the wrong side. But the Polish and the Russians are on our side, are they?
Come on, Americans, enter the war! sitting back thinking, well, we just profit on both sides, right?
I can see good and bad on both
sides.
Yeah,
exactly, yeah.
I've seen that Sean Locke skit on AR-10 Cats about Hitler.
No.
It's just like in the middle of, like, I think it was AR-10 Cats does Countdown. He was just like, what are you doing? He was muttering to me about Hitler. It was like, you know, he says, I could see both sides, a bit like Switzerland. It's like, what? It's like, the end of Sean Locke's career. It's just muttering about Hitler.
Student of History says, UK officially wins the Turf Wars Battle of the Pantsuit Bulge. Gotta have a few victories, haven't we? Charlie again says, regarding Turf Island, if this is like the Battle of Britain, then that makes Eric Zemmour even more like De Gaulle. Look at it. Looks like his nomination video is even more pressing. That's a great point, wasn't it? Because in, like, we did the Zemmour thing, and you were like, oh my god, he's famous.
Well, he did it on purpose.
Obviously, yeah. But it, great point. You know, he's going to be broadcasting from London at some point. The Reconquista.
So we're going to get the Italians to switch sides somehow. So they're going to leave the EU halfways.
Well, I mean, it's not beyond the realms of possibility, is it? Because I'm sure they're going to have elections at some point, possibly. And, you know, they've got their based anti-globalists there. So, you know, who knows? Who knows? Anyway, Baron von Warhawk says, introducing porn to kids is one of the evilest things that you can do for them because the porn rabbit hole is real and it will F up your life. Yeah, I honestly totally, totally agree. Like, it's just one of those things where it's just like, I mean, I've had so many people like young men messaging me saying, look, I got addicted to porn. And there are studies that show this, and literally, like, they don't feel aroused around real women because they're so addicted. Like, because
you're not as good as my 2D waifu.
Well, that's exactly it, because they've normalized and habituated themselves into becoming aroused by some insane nonsense they've seen on the internet that no real woman is ever going to do or want to do, and you shouldn't want them to want to do that, really. And so they're not even, like, and I read this, some article or something, where they're saying, like, these young men actually can't get erections with, like, real women. And I'm like, my God. I was remembering, and these are, like, 15, 16-year-old guys. I'm thinking, Christ, when I was 16 years old and you got your first girlfriend, I could barely stop myself because I wasn't constantly on my phone looking at the most degenerate porn in the world. Right? Women, you know, women were actually interesting to me when I was young. I feel so for your generation, man, I tell you.
Got ups and downs.
It's not hard to get a waifu. Riss says, history may be written by the victor. However, the future is influenced by those they fought. No matter what they say the history on lockdowns were, we must remind them day in, day out, the authoritarian, barbaric, and inhumane things they were willing to do during that time. Modernity has also meant the age of the age-old weapon of the pen can be rivaled by the keyboard. Hopefully, with our influence, the lockdown will be remembered as one of the greatest crimes of the 21st century. Yeah, so what we should be doing, really, is creating some sort of compilations and just archiving, go through the archives, find what we can, and just constantly throw it in their faces now, right? Throw it in every comment section. You know, whenever they tweet, have underneath, Biden wanted lockdowns, because the narrative now is reversed. Okay. Lockdowns are not a moral good. Lockdowns are not something we should be demanding. In fact, lockdowns are evil. Like, this is what we were saying from the word go.
I mean, it is actually nice and easy if you're an American for this, because you can just point to the Dems and be like, you know, here's your governor.
Yeah.
You know, long after DeSantis has come out, yeah, and be like, well, this is bollocks, and you guys were still doing it.
Yeah.
Whereas in the UK, I mean, we're in a bit of a pickle, because I at the same time, the government that stopped all the lockdowns is obviously the guys who did all the lockdowns, and obviously Labour are worse.
But for us, it's Sage.
What, they're our target? I mean,
absolutely. They were the ones demanding all of this.
Should spineless politicians get
Jeremy
off?
Jeremy Corbyn, Keir Starmer. Keir Starmer kept demanding all of these restrictions, and that's why Boris was doing
Corbyn?
It. No, I don't think Corbyn did. Keir Starmer definitely did, though.
Yeah.
Right. Did I say Corbyn?
Yeah.
I meant Keir. Yeah. I meant Keir Starmer. Sorry, because this was a
bizarre world. We're like, oh, Corbyn's no, he's a good guy. Like,
actually, Corbyn was surprisingly good on that.
And his brother.
Which is weird. But I guess it's just because he wasn't in power. But the point is, like, you know, okay, so now the official narrative from the lockdowns is lockdown bad, we don't need to do them. Great. Throw it in their faces constantly. You wanted this, you did this, look at the consequences. And the science is out now, no benefit, lots of harm. No, you know, you did all this. And this is something that you, the regular person, can do in your own. Just, you know, get like a doc and just put a bunch of links.
Justify it as well.
Exactly. Well, that's the point.
I can literally go to like the MP in my old constituency and be like, you locked me in my house.
This is what Riss is talking about though. So look, history is written by the victors. We're the victors here, right? So we need to write the history. And there's a part that everyone can play in this, which is just making sure that whenever the subject comes up, boom, you were in favor of it. You were in favor of it. Because now the narrative will set in lockdowns bad. Because everyone hated the lockdowns. Everyone will remember the lockdowns were awful. But the memory will fade. But just whenever it comes up, oh, that person was for lockdown. Oh, yeah, what a dick. You know, you can settle this narrative and settle it into people's minds so this never happens again.
But it's also just, what has a politician actually done to you personally on an individual level that's bad, right?
Yeah, yeah, and most of the time you've got, like, well, nothing, really.
They reduce the income on this, or they tax me more, yeah, or they change these regulations.
It's something slightly abstract,
they grew my kids, so...
Yeah, well, yeah.
But with the lockdowns, it's so evident. It's like, right, you literally locked me in my house for several months.
You ruined my business.
Yeah.
You closed down, like, my small business. I couldn't make any money. You're evil. You did this to me. You know, you funneled my money to Amazon.
You say that to a candidate who's running, they're just going to feel ashamed and move on. There's nothing they can do. They know they've lost.
Yes. So. And the official, the gated institutional narrative has collapsed. And that now is the time to just literally leap down their throats as hard as you can. Ignacio says, education is one of the pillars of civilization, and modern teachers continue to abuse their position of power and corrupt the future of the nation. They need an eye of Sauron policing their every move and word, and don't deserve freedom to teach how they like anymore. That's completely correct. I mean, then that's why the left, I think it was Oakeshott who called it a disturbing preoccupation with education that the left has, and it's because they know that if they can educate your children into being leftists, then that's it. You know, they're going to ruin a generation and another generation. And eventually they'll get
to... That can't be stopped.
Exactly. They'll get to communism eventually in a sort of snowballing effect.
Well, it's a whole chapter at Mein Kampf.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's just him talking about how we're going to get the schools and then we're going to be secure forever.
Really?
And so that's where James Lindsay, it's that chapter that he reworded into wokeism. Published as a journal, it got published.
It's been a few years since I've read Mein Kampf.
Yeah, but he's just like, you know, we will make them anti-racist space instead of anti-Semitic space.
Yeah, we'll make them communists rather than Nazis. Chet says, lockdowns are a prison term, not a medical one. Oh, that's a great meme. That's a great meme. Yeah. Like, again, like whenever they talk about it, go, you were in favor of this prison term. You know, never in my career have we quarantined and isolated healthy people. We only ever do this with individuals who have highly infectious diseases. Even then, we do not deny them access to their family and friends. We simply educate and provide them with the adequate PPE and keep themselves safe as spending time with their loved ones. Isolation and loneliness have a tremendously negative impact on a person's health and contribute to a condition that we refer to as failure to thrive, where a person begins to struggle to provide even the basics of care for themselves. This condition often afflicts the elderly and essentially causes them to die from loneliness. Again, don't let them get away with this. Do not let them get away with this, because they're going to try and pivot now. And we say, well, we did nothing wrong. We were just following the science. No, you didn't, because as soon as you got the science, as soon as we knew what the lockdowns did, you were like, yeah, no, we didn't want that. Nothing to do with us, Gardner. We only locked you in your homes. And Ignacio says again, I expected the reversal of the COVID narrative, but I did not expect them to wait more than 2 years to start the reversal. I think it's nearly impossible for them to now shift the blame and pretend that they had nothing to do with all the oppression that they have imposed on the people. The consequences of these 2 years haven't even begun to fully manifest. I hope this tyranny does not go unpunished. Yeah, it's the damage to children that is going to be the thing that we really need to leverage as well. Like, because, like, I think my kids are probably okay. We were very diligent about like making sure the kids did work, and I took them out for walks and stuff like that. They weren't just on smartphones. They weren't just on video games, playing Xboxes or whatever, all day, every day for a year, right? My kids did not get that opportunity. And I think that's entirely a good thing for them. But there are going to be literally millions of children whose parents didn't feel they had any other option, right? It was a consequence of me working from home and being able to earn money during the lockdown so we could do stuff, you know, when, you know, we could go to the shop or whatever and go out for walks. But if you're a parent and you don't have that, and you're just in a, like, you know, two-bed room, and the kids just bouncing off the walls, and you go, what can you do, walk around the streets of London or something? You know, it's like, well, just get on the Xbox and just shut up, you know, keep you occupied. That's bad for them, you know. And anyway, it's got to be something we hammer them on. Anyway, Taffy says, I eagerly wait the coming news headline storm. Florida man attacks pro-pedo teacher with an alligator as he attempts to transition unwilling children. I mean, that's probably going to happen. Florida man releases alligator into teachers' union or something.
Oh, man. You were saying about the kids thing. I don't know anything about this subject, but I was reading someone writing about it in their school. Mm-hmm. They were saying that the mask mandate was still taking place in their state.
Oh, yeah, it's still going on.
They said that basically all the kids that they had, I can't remember what age they were, they weren't developing empathy at a normal rate anymore. Like, they were all at least 6 months behind.
Really?
Of where they should be developing empathy for other kids. Because they just can't read facial expressions.
It's just a blank face.
Yeah.
It's evil.
So,
and you see, was it Stacey Abrams in Georgia, the Democrat? She's not the governor, I think.
How does she get people to defend her?
I don't know, but she's literally sat there maskless in a classroom full of like 6-year-olds who are wearing masks. And it's like, do you not understand how evil that makes you look? You look genuinely like a villain. And she sat there with a fat, smug face, smiling for the camera. And it's like, dude, I would happily put you up against the wall at this point.
Do you remember those memes? It was just like, you know, your kids. Mask getting shoved on that like, 2-year-old or whatever it was, and then the Dems all sat around smiling.
Yeah,
it's the meme incarnate.
Yeah,
like, do these people have no? They couldn't have said self awareness. Why am I asking? Not.
And so this is why I'm so glad to see like the trucker uprising and them taking the L and being like, oh god, we've lost this one. Yeah, you've lost this one.
It's because it's actually been thrown in their face, because there's so many things in politics that are just horrible or go wrong, and then you have these people sitting in their little offices who never ever get anywhere near it.
Hmm.
And this one, it's hit so many people and in such disgusting ways. I think it's really hard for them to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good, at least. Yeah. Silver lining.
Marcus says, all I'm seeing really is a university to degeneracy pipeline. Yes, there absolutely is one. Bart No Name says, you do not own your kids, but you are fully responsible until they cease to be kids. No, I do own my kids. And if I don't own my kids, someone else owns my kids. Because I'm telling you that. My kids don't own themselves. They're children. Children are not nearly compos mentis enough to own themselves. It'd be irresponsible to suggest that a child should be free of anything, really. They need to be part of a family structure. But you are...
They belong to. They can't belong to themselves.
Exactly.
They're kids.
Exactly. But the thing is, you are right when you said, look, you know, the state should hold you accountable if you do something to your kids. Yeah, absolutely. You know, they are not merely chattel property. They are children, which is a special category all of its own. You know, it comes with different positions and stations in life. What?
It's just you breaking into a school. Like, the children belong to the community. You're like, no, damn, this is my property. Grab your kids and run out.
Well, that's exactly my point. They are my property.
Give me that boy. That's my boy.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And they'd be heartbroken.
He beat me in Necron.
And they'd be heartbroken if I didn't do that. That's the thing. Because they'd feel abandoned.
Yeah.
They'd feel like their parents didn't care for them, you know? And so it's not that there is a genuine conflict of interest, that there is a genuinely appropriate place for the state when it comes to the family, and that is to protect the children from harm from the parent. But that doesn't mean they own the child. That's the thing. But anyway, last one, XYNZ says, recommendation for your book club is Pamela Paul's Pornified. Pretty eye-opening on the damage it's causing. Maybe that's worth doing.
And on that note, it's time to end the show. So if you'd like more from us, of course, go over to letterzears.com, subscribe to get access to all the premium content, as I've mentioned a million times. It also is how we keep the show running.
Yep.
But other than that, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.